17. Jason Breckenridge wears a terracotta blazer. It is the color of Sicily. Jason Breckenridge has never been to Sicily. He may get to go there someday as a premium. In order to get the free cruise to Sicily, Jason has to accumulate 10,000 Gumbara points. He begins this quest in a favorable position. By opening up his own Nova Sicilia franchise, he started out with an automatic 3,333 points in the Gumbara point bank. Add to that a one-time-only citizenship bonus of 500 points, and the balance is starting to look pretty good. The number is stored in the big computer in Brooklyn. Jason grew up in the western suburbs of Chicago, one of the most highly franchised regions in the country. He attended the University of Illinois Business School, racking up a GPA of 2.9567, and did a senior thesis called The Interaction of the Ethnographic, Financial, and Paramilitary Dimensions of Competition in Certain Markets. This was a case study of turf struggle between Nova Sicilia and Narcolombia franchises in his old neighborhood in Aurora. Enrique Cortesar ran the failing Narcolombia franchise upon which Jason had hinged his argument. Jason interviewed him several times over the phone, briefly, but never saw Mr. Cortesar face to face. Mr. Cortesar celebrated Jason's graduation by firebombing the Breckenridge's Omni Horizon van in a parking lot and then firing 11 clips of automatic rifle ammunition through the front wall of their house. Fortunately, Mr. Caruso, who ran the local string of Nova Sicilia franchisees that was in the process of beating the pants off of Enrique Cortesar, got wind of these attacks before they happened, probably by intercepting signal intelligence from Mr. Cortesar's fleet of poorly secured cellular phones and CB radios. He was able to warn Jason's family in time, so that when all those bullets flew through their house in the middle of the night, they were enjoying a complimentary champagne in an old Sicilia inn 5 miles down Highway 96. Naturally, when the B school held its end-of-the-year job fair, Jason made a point of swinging by the Nova Sicilia booth to thank Mr. Caruso for saving everyone in his family from certain death.
"Hey, you know, it was just like a neighbor kind of thing, you know, J.C. boy," Mr. Caruso said, whacking Jason across the shoulder blades and squeezing his deltoids, which were the size of cantaloupes.
Jason did not hit the steroids as hard as he had when he was 15, but he was still in great shape. Mr. Caruso was from New York. He had one of the most popular booths at the job fair. It was being held in a big exhibition space in the Union. The hall had been done up with an imaginary street pattern. Two highways divided it up into quadrants, and all the franchise companies and nationalities had their booths along the highways. Burb Claves and other companies had booths hidden among the suburban streets within the quadrants. Mr. Caruso's Nova Sicilia booth was right at the intersection of the two highways. Dozens of scrubby B-school grads were lined up there, waiting to interview. But Mr. Caruso noticed Jason standing in line and went right up and plucked him out of line and grabbed his deltoids. All the other B-school grads stared at Jason enviously. That made Jason feel good, really special. That was the feeling he got about Nova Sicilia, personalized attention.
"Well, I was going to interview here, of course, and at Mr. Lee's Greater Hong Kong, because I'm real interested in high-tech," Jason said,
in response to Mr. Caruso's fatherly questioning. Mr. Caruso gave him an especially hard squeeze. His voice said that he was painfully surprised, but that he didn't necessarily think any less of Jason for it. Not yet, anyway.
"Hong Kong! What would a smart white kid like you want with a fucking nip operation?"
"Well, technically they're not Nips, which is short for Nipponese," Jason said. "Hong Kong is predominantly Cantonese."
"They're all Nips," Mr. Caruso said. "And you know why I say that? Not because I'm a fucking racist, because I'm not. Because to them, to those people, you know, the Nips, we're all foreign devils. That's what they call us, foreign devils. How do you like that?"
Jason just laughed appreciatively.
"After all the good things we did for them. But here in America, J.C. boy, we're all foreign devils, ain't we? We all came from someplace, except for the fucking Indians.
You ain't gonna interview over at the Lakota Nation, are you?
No, sir, Mr. Caruso, Jason said.
Good thinking. I agree with that. I'm getting away from my main point, which is that since we all have our own unique ethnic and cultural identities, we have to get a job with an organization that uniquely respects and seeks to preserve those distinctive identities, forging them together into a functioning whole, you know?
Yes, I see your point, Mr. Caruso, Jason said.
By this point, Mr. Caruso had led him some distance away and was strolling with him down one of the metaphorical highways of opportunity.
Now, can you think of some business organizations that fill that fucking bill, J.C. Boy?
Well, not fucking Hong Kong. That's for white people who want to be Japs but can't. Did you know that?
You don't want to be a Jap, do you?
Ha, ha. No, sir, Mr. Caruso.
You know what I heard?
Mr. Caruso let go of Jason, turned and stood close to him, chest to chest, his cigar zinging past Jason's ear like a flaming arrow as he gesticulated. This was the confidential portion of the chat, a little anecdote between the two men.
In Japan, if you screw up, you gotta cut off one of your fingers. Chop. Just like that. Honest to God. You don't believe me?
I believe you. But that's not all of Japan, sir. Just in the Yakuza, the Japanese mafia.
Mr. Caruso threw back his head and laughed, put his arm around Jason's shoulders again.
You know, I like you, Jason, I really do, he said. The Japanese mafia. Tell me something, Jason. You ever hear anyone describe our thing as the Sicilian Yakuza? Huh?
Jason laughed. No, sir.
You know why that is? You know?
Mr. Caruso had come to the serious, meaningful part of his speech.
Why is that, sir?
Mr. Caruso wheeled Jason around so that both of them were staring down the length of the highway to the tall effigy of Uncle Enzo standing above the intersection like the Statue of Liberty.
'Cause there's only one, son. Only one. And you could be a part of it.
But it's so competitive.
What? Listen to this. You got a 3-point grade average. You're gonna kick butt, son.
Mr. Caruso, like any other franchisee, had access to TurfNet, the multiple listing service that Nova Sicilia used to keep track of what it called opportunity zones. He took Jason back to the booth, right past all those poor dorks waiting in line. Jason really liked that. And signed onto the network. All Jason had to do was pick out a region.
I have an uncle who owns a car dealership in Southern California, Jason said. And I know that's a rapidly expanding area and...
Plenty of opportunity zones,
Mr. Caruso said, pounding away on the keyboard with a flourish. He wheeled the monitor around to show Jason a map of the L.A. area, blazing with red splotches that represented unclaimed turf sectors.
Take your pick, J.C. boy!
Now Jason Breckenridge is the manager of Nova Sicilia number 5328 in the Valley. He puts on his smart terracotta blazer every morning and drives to work in his Oldsmobile. Lots of young entrepreneurs would be driving BMWs or Acuras, but the organization of which Jason is now a part of puts a premium on tradition and family values and does not go in for flashy foreign imports.
If an American car is good enough for Uncle Enzo.
Jason's blazer has the Mafia logo embroidered on the breast pocket. A letter G is worked into the logo, signifying Gambino, which is the division that handles accounts for the L.A. Basin. His name is written underneath. Jason, the Iron Pumper, Breckenridge. That is the nickname that he and Mr. Caruso came up with a year ago at the job fair in Illinois. Everyone gets to have a nickname. It is a tradition and a mark of pride, and they like you to pick something that says something about you. As manager of a local office, Jason's job is to portion work out to local contractors. Every morning he parks his Oldsmobile out front and goes into the office, ducking quickly into the armored doorway to foil possible Narcolumbian snipers.
This does not prevent them from taking occasional pot shots at the big Uncle Enzo that rises up above the franchise. But those signs can take an amazing amount of abuse before they start looking seedy. Safely inside, Jason signs onto TurfNet. A job list scrolls automatically onto the screen. All Jason has to do is find contractors to handle all of those jobs before he goes home that night, or else he has to take care of them himself. One way or another, they have to get done. The great majority of the jobs are simple deliveries, which he portions out to couriers. Then there are collections from delinquent borrowers and from franchisees who depend on Nova Sicilia for their plant security. If it's a first notice, Jason likes to drop by in person just to show the flag, to emphasize that his organization takes a personal, one-to-one, hands-on, micromanaged approach to debt-related issues. If it's a second or third notice, he usually writes a contract with Deadbeaters International, a high-impact collection agency with whose work he has always been very happy. Then there is the occasional Code H. Jason hates to deal with Code H's, views them as symptoms of a breakdown in the system of mutual trust that makes society work. But usually, these are handled directly from the regional level, and all Jason has to do is aftermath management and spin control. This morning, Jason is looking especially crisp, his Oldsmobile freshly waxed and polished. Before he goes inside, he plucks a couple of burger wrappers off the parking lot. Snipers be damned. He has heard that Uncle Enzo is in the area, and you never knew when he might pull his fleet of limousines and war wagons into a neighborhood franchise and pop in to shake hands with the rank and file. Yes, Jason is going to be working late tonight, burning the oil until he receives word that Uncle Enzo's plane is safely out of the area. He signs onto TurfNet. A list of jobs scrolls up as usual, not a very long list. Inter-franchise activity is way down today, as all the local managers gird, polish, and inspect for the possible arrival of Uncle Enzo. But one of the jobs scrolls up in red letters. A priority job. Priority jobs are a little unusual, a symptom of bad morale and general slipshoddity. Every job should be a priority job, but every so often, there is something that absolutely can't be delayed or screwed up. A local manager like Jason can't order up a priority job. It has to come from a higher echelon. Usually a priority job is a code H, but Jason notes with relief that this one is a simple delivery. Certain documents are to be hand-carried from his office to Nova Sicilia number 4649, which is south of downtown. Way south. Compton. A war zone. Longtime stronghold of Narcolombians and Rastafarian gunslingers. Compton. Why the hell would an office in Compton need a personally signed copy of his financial records? They should be spending all their time doing code H's on the competition out there. As a matter of fact, there is a very active young mafia group on a certain block in Compton that has just succeeded in driving away all the Narcolombians and turning the whole area into a mafia-watch neighborhood. Old ladies are walking the streets again. Children are waiting for school buses and playing hopscotch on sidewalks that recently were stained with blood. It's a fine example. If it can be done on this block, it can be done anywhere. As a matter of fact, Uncle Enzo is coming to congratulate them in person, this afternoon. And number 4649 is going to be his temporary headquarters. The implications are stunning. Jason has been given a priority job to deliver his records to the very franchise where Uncle Enzo will be taking his espresso this afternoon. Uncle Enzo is interested in him. Mr. Caruso claimed he had connections higher up. But could they really go this high? Jason sits back in his color-coordinated earth-tone swivel chair to consider the very real possibility that in a few days he's going to be managing a whole region, or even better. One thing's for sure. This is not a delivery to be entrusted to any courier, any punk on a skateboard. Jason is going to trundle his Oldsmobile into Compton personally to drop this stuff off.